The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you, Brother Palmore, for that. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to those scriptures that we looked at a moment ago, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 10 and 11, where the Bible does say, "Now I beseech you." By the way, when he says, "I beseech you," it's talking about giving that which is an earnest plea or a begging, coming before you, if you will, and saying, "Okay, this is something I want you to strongly consider to be a part or not to be a part of your life." Now, here it says this, "Now I beseech you, brethren," it says, "by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, let me help you a little bit. If somebody comes to you and says, "I beseech you," depending on whose name they put behind, that beseeching shows the power or the energy or the authority behind what they're asking you to do. Now, here we have that they're asking them to do this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible says, watch it again, "Now I beseech you," it says, "brethren," talking to saved people, he says, "by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that you all have no," or that ye, it says, "that there is no divisions among you." It says, "but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment." All right? So what he is saying here to the church at Corinth, now you understand the church at Corinth is not exactly a church that we would look at to say that's a godly outfit. They had many, many, many divisions. They had many, many strifes. They had many, many problems inside of them in understanding doctrine and the practice thereof. But here Paul is coming to them, and he's saying, "I beg you, I beseech you, I'm asking you, I am pleading with you, if you will." And then he puts the name in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's putting power behind his statement. He says, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, no divisions among you, but perfectly joined together." And then he comes down in verse 11, the Bible says, and it says, "For he hath been declared unto you," it says, "my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe," the Bible says, "that there be no contentions among you." So apparently inside the church at this time in this particular church, there was some very bad problems. And so Paul is coming along and Paul is trying to admonish. Paul is trying to help. Paul is trying to teach. Paul is trying to encourage. Paul is trying to give that which is a direction to follow so that there would be no more problems. Now, let me speak to you this morning on when Christians disagree. When Christians disagree. Oh, you say, "Preacher, you're saying that because we've had disagreements in our church." Well, from time to time we do. I don't see any right now. I don't see any problems right now, and praise God for that. But from time to time, there will be Christians that do disagree. Now, by the way, when somebody disagrees, that does not mean that they're less or more spiritual than you. That means that their view might be different than yours. And we're not talking about disagreeing about doctrine. I'll approach that in just a moment. But we're talking about just penny ante type of disagreement. Agreements, if you will. Hey, I was pretty smart when we did the roof up here. My wife and I were doing a couples retreat up in Pigeon Forge with a church there that was hosting it. And I was telling the man, the pastor that was hosting the meeting that we were speaking at, I was telling him, "We're getting ready to do this roof down in Texas. And you pray for us," I said to the people, "and you pray for us because we're going to have to raise the money." Well, anyway, this brother said, "Have you ever considered a metal roof?" And I said, "Well, no, I've not really thought about it." And he said, "You ought to consider a metal roof." He said, "It's a little bit more expensive." He said, "But it'd be worth it." And so I came back and I talked to our deacons and Brother Stead, one of our good deacons, and Brother Cavanaugh worked for a roofing company, and they went to their boss and made the appeal, and he gave it to us at the discounted price as to what it would cost to put shingles up there. And so it cost us the same amount as putting shingles up there. And they came up and they did the labor, but I was so afraid that people would not agree with me about what color the roof ought to be. And so what I did is I put a portion of it up there. We hammered it up there. You remember this? We hammered it up there, and I had brown, and I had tan, and then I had this bright orange. And people kept coming to me, "Preacher, I don't care what color you get, just don't get orange." Now, to be honest with you, I wouldn't plan on getting orange. But I wanted people to see something that was so disgusting that no matter what I chose, it would be okay. And so I put orange up there. Now, can I tell you, listen to me. Did you know, if perhaps I did not do that, maybe there would have been a little bit division. Did you know, I know churches, you won't believe this, but it's true. I know churches that have church splits over the color of the carpet. I know churches that have church splits over the color of the pews. I know churches that have church splits because the preacher gets up and he says something and they don't like it and it hair lips them and they get all upset and they go out and they start to cause all sorts of divisions among themselves. Now, I thank God for Parkside Baptist Church. I thank God here's a place I can come and preach, and here's a place where I have perfect liberty to be able to preach the Bible and to tell you what the Bible says. I thank God for your Spirit. I thank God for your testimony. I thank God that you back the Word of God, yea, the man of God, and preaching here is fun. Oh, I said preaching here is fun. It's more fun when you say amen, but it's fun. All right, now watch this if you will, okay? Many years ago, there was two boys and they were fighting and mama was all upset. These were brothers and boy, they were just out there and they were tangled up in a mess. And the older boy was just pouncing the little boy and just beating him up as sometimes brothers have an idea to do. And she got out there and she yelled at them and she pulled that older boy off that younger boy. And she said, "Son," she said, "I tell you what, the devil has gotten in you. That's what it is. The devil has gotten in you." And she started to pull that older boy off that younger boy. And as soon as that older boy was being pulled and peeled off of that younger boy, that older boy just reached down and coughed up and spit in that younger boy's eyes. And mama said, "I can't believe the devil has made you do it. The devil has made you do it." And he said, "Mama, maybe so. Maybe the devil made us get into a fist fight, but I spit in his eye all by myself." You know, you determine what type of person that you're going to be. I say often, you can come to church and say, "Boy, I tell you what, I'm looking for a gold nugget. I'm coming to church. I can't wait to hear preaching. I can't wait to hear the singing." And you come to church predetermined on what you're going to get out of it. Those people that come to church this morning say, "Well, you know, God's not going to speak to my heart. God's not going to show me anything. And God's not going to help me." You're probably right. Those that come to church and they say, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking for a blessing. I cannot wait to hear what the man of God has to say from the Word of God and how God is going to take and change my life." Can I tell you, you'll probably get exactly what you want, because what you come looking for is probably what you're going to find. By the way, we have strange people that attend our church. Did you know that? You come and you say, "Well, I'll tell you what, I want to sit beside somebody that wears deodorant all the time." Well, maybe you will, but maybe you'll sit beside somebody that doesn't wear deodorant. And we know the thing was invented. But you ought not to judge a church based on if a person wears deodorant or not. Oh, but somebody says, "I'm going to go to church, and if they sing the song and they get all the words of the song right, then I'm going to go back to church." Have you ever heard somebody in our church sing a song and they mess up? I have. "Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go to church, and the preacher makes me laugh, and the preacher makes me smile, and he tells a funny. Oh, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go back because I believe that's where the Spirit of God is." The Spirit of God has nothing to do if a preacher can tell a joke or not. "Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go back there if the preacher gives a tear-jerking illustration." By the way, we live too much by our feelings today, and that is, boy, I tell you, if I go to church and I feel moved, if I just feel like God is working in me and through me, oh, if the preacher turns loose and he preaches and he stands on the pulpit and stands in the pew and preaches and spits all over the first three rows, then I know it must be of God. But what do you do with that preacher that's in his 70s and he can't stand on top of the pew? What do you do with that preacher that still is plowing the corn and he's still preaching and he's giving it everything? Look, so many times, here's what we do in our society. We treat church like it's an amusement park. And if I like the ride, then I'll come back. But if I don't like the ride, I won't come back. Whatever happened to church being church and the man of God getting up and the man of God preaching the Bible and telling you what for, and you take it. Nowadays, we have so many churches. It's in the Dallas Metro. Over 7 million people live here. And we have so many churches that's in the Metro now. Here's what takes place. Well, if I don't like that one, I'll go to another one. If I don't like that one, I'll go to another one. If I don't like that one, I'll go to another one. Hey, why don't you settle down and just decide you're going to be in an old-fashioned, fundamental, independent Baptist church where the Word of God is preached and you hear what God has to say and let God speak to your heart. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, what do you do when Christians disagree? There's a very wealthy man. He was a lawyer, and he had died. He had several cars. And in his will that he was rehearsing before his wife, as they were getting ready to write it, they were sitting there, and he's going to die. He knows he's going to die. And he said to his wife, well, I'm going to leave the Cadillac to George. George, our son. George is a good boy. And I believe he needs the Cadillac. His wife spoke up and said, no, I think you ought to leave it to Joe. Joe's a better driver. He said, well, okay. He said, now the Rolls Royce, I want to leave it to Linda, our daughter. And she said, no, Linda don't deserve that Rolls Royce. You ought to leave it to Willie, our nephew. I mean, after all, Willie, he's been such a good boy, and Linda already has cars of her own. He said, well, okay, all right. Well, the Volvo. I'm going to leave the Volvo to Sally, our niece. And she said, no, no, no. You ought to leave it to Judy. Don't leave it to Sally. Leave it to Judy. After a while, he got kind of down, and he looked at his wife. He said, wait a minute. Who's doing the dying around here? You know, people disagree over things. One salesman had come in, and he had only had 3 orders for the week. And so as he came into the workplace, his boss became quite irate and said, I can't believe it. You had 3 orders. It was for the week, and all 3 of them came back. You might as well give up. Why don't you just get up and get out of here and never come back again? Or there was some disagreement there. One evangelist was preaching and had a heckler in the audience. A heckler. I mean, he was preaching, he's giving it the best he could. He had a heckler that was in the audience. And the heckler stood up and just started heckling and just making fun of the preacher and said, don't you know you preached against liquor tonight? And but don't you know that your daddy used to drive a liquor wagon? And he said, yeah, I remember daddy driving a liquor wagon, but daddy's gone now. Daddy's dead. And the wagon's gone. But I see that the donkey is still here. Thank you for coming tonight. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you this? Can I tell you that there is people that will disagree with you? There's people that will get mad. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 10, the Bible says, now I beseech you, brethren. He says, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, talking to that church at Corinth, that there be no divisions among you, that there be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. He says, that been declared unto you, it says, my brethren. And he says, now, he said, don't you remember down at the house of Chloe? He says, there are contentions among you. There ought not to be divisions and contentions among us. Now, let me tell you about some things. Some people would disagree over doctrine. Some people would disagree over doctrine. Now, can I tell you, it doesn't matter what somebody says behind a pulpit. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's not right. We always ought to go back to the Bible and let the Bible declare what true doctrine is. You have a recording in Acts chapter 15 and verse 1 where the Bible says that certain men came down. It says, from Judea and taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. All right. Then you had those that was in the congregation that day that was Paul and Barnabas, and the division was great among them. They chose to send Paul and Barnabas back to that which was Jerusalem to settle the matter. Now, by the way, are you listening to me? You can settle the matter about Bible doctrine when you come to church. You can settle the matter about Bible doctrine when you come to church and the preacher opens up the Bible and you see something in the Bible. So if there's divisions among them that is over Bible doctrine, what do? You go back to your Bible. Let the Bible speak. Let the Bible speak. You say, well, I don't agree with the Bible. Well, you and I ought to agree with the Bible. Let God be God and every man a liar. take the Bible, and you say, well, sometimes the Bible is offensive. Oh, okay, I understand that, but God is still God. You know, sometimes I don't agree with this or that the Bible says, but that's okay. Hey, your children need a strong foundation in which to stand on, and that strong foundation in which to stand on ought to be Jesus Christ. And that's how come we say, hey, get yourself in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Why? So that you're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and let God speak to your heart, and let God change your life, and let God work in your life. Because God can do that for you. I'm saying this morning, listen, there's those that have disagreements over doctrine. You can settle that with your Bible. There's those that have disagreement over opinion. Over opinion. By the way, there's more people that have disagreement over opinion than it is over doctrine. Did you know that? There's more people that will be highly opinionated, and they don't have a Bible truth to back it up. But because they stand on their two hind legs and they stand strong and tall, they will not budge. But you let the Bible determine its doctrine, statement number one. Statement number two, be careful because people do disagree over opinions. Acts chapter 15, you have the recording here in verse 37 where it says, and Barnabas was determined to take John, whose surname was Mark, and Paul thought it not good to take him with them. And they departed from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the Bible says, and the contention was sharp between them, and they departed asunder, one from the other. And Barnabas took Mark and sailed onto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren onto the grace of God. Now, wait a minute. These are two preachers. Preachers. Men of God. And they're disagreeing. You say, well, now, wait a minute. Preachers are not supposed to disagree. Well, now, I agree. But do you know that church members disagree too? You know, sometimes, all right, don't get mad at me, not yet. But sometimes we'll open our mouth too big and we'll stick our foot in. And before we can get that one foot out, here we go. We'll go in and we'll stick another foot in, and they both get locked. You ever say something you shouldn't have said? Amen. You ever said something you shouldn't have said and you wish you wouldn't have said it? You ever said something and you hurt somebody's feelings? And you didn't mean for it to come out that way? But yet you blame them saying they took it that way. And it's their fault they shouldn't have took it that way. Well, perhaps you shouldn't have said it. You know, you don't always have to speak your tongue. You don't always have to be cantankerous. Well, let me tell you what I think about that. Now, I love you in the Lord, but who cares? Don't be somebody that's always, hey, look, you let the preacher, if the preacher's the right type of preaching, he's going to cause enough trouble. You let the preacher do the preaching. You do the loving. You know what you ought to do after every service? Can I help you? Can I help you? You ready? Here we go. Here's what you ought to do after every service. God bless you. I'm so glad you came today. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you. And hey, wasn't that preaching good? Wasn't that good? Wasn't that good? That was so good. Woo! Tell you what, if you come back Sunday night, it'd be just as good, if not better. I'll tell you. And you try and go, oh, wasn't that good, buddy? I'll tell you what, man, you look sharp as a tack. Did you know that? You look sharp as a tack. Did your mama dress you this morning? Did your daddy? Did you? Oh, wow, you look sharp as a tack. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Wasn't that preaching good? Wasn't that singing good? It's so good to be in the house of God this morning. You can be positive. You can. You don't have to be down in the mouth. Come on. I went to one of those old-timey Baptist churches this morning. That preacher, he didn't have a stool. He dressed in a suit and he yelled at us for 25, 35, 40 minutes. Man, it scared me to death. He stood on a pew. By the way, you're not going to get anybody in church that way. Right. You know, if some of you would just get excited about the things of God and you said, hey, This is the best church in the Dallas metro area. Everybody needs to come. Everybody needs to get involved. Hey, go after your neighbors and go after your friends and go after your schoolmates. And hey, instead of preaching to a pew that's in front of you that's empty, why don't you take the charge and you decide, you'll get out there and you'll fill the pew and do what you can do. Why? Because the Bible, that's important, that's why. Now, may I say this morning, let me help a little bit and just give you a couple things to consider. Statement number one, I said that people disagree over doctrine. Now, we can settle that by the word of God. I said statement number two, people disagree over opinions. Let them go. Let them go. But let me show you how to let them go. Statement number one, we understand this, and that is this, that is disagreements are going to happen. We're in a growing church. We've been here now for 6 years. We watched it double. Can I tell you, I think if you give us, let's cut that in half, let's say another 3 years, I think it'd pretty well double again. Now, can I tell you, that means more people are going to come. That means different faces are going to show up. That means different types of people are going to be here. Hello? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that disagreements are going to come. Now, what do you do about that? You just smile. Come on. Oh, okay, come here. Disagree with me. Come here, Brother Craig. And just get a mean look on your face and disagree with me about something. Just let me have it. He just got back off vacation. He's still not here. Just mean look and just let me have it. Go ahead. Thank you. Okay, yeah, stand up.
Yeah.
Disagree with me.
Maxwell House is God's coffee.
That is not true.
I wrote it there myself.
I don't care. Community's the best. Community's the best. No. We're not going to drink that. My daddy drank that. He's dead today. And we're not going to do it. We won't do it. It took my daddy's life early. He died 57. He's 57. And my brother died age 57. Guess what he drank? That's right, Maxwell House. All right. Now, wait. You know, you could get in stuff like that out in the hallway. Sure you could. Well, my kid, he plays on the church basketball team, and can I tell you, he's the best. And daddy stands up and says, no, it's my boy, he's the best. And before you know it, you're throwing basketballs at each other. Come on. Well, you know, my favorite singing group at the church is this. Oh, my favorite singing group at the church is this. Hello. Two girls go into the closet finding a skirt to wear or whatever, and one starts pulling it, the other starts pulling it. Before you know it, it's pulled down the middle. Tore apart. That's what you're doing with your relationships. Now, I'm saying this. Disagreements, they're going to happen. Don't take them personal. We all come from different backgrounds. We all come from different upbringings. We all come here today at different ages. We all have a different set of parents. We all have different interests. We all have different abilities. We all have different talents. And I'm saying, listen to me, I'm saying that there's going to be times in your life when you're going to disagree with people. There's going to be times in your life when all of a sudden somebody's going to sit in your pew. Well, I've been sitting there for 2 years. That's my pew. Somebody's going to sit in your pew. You've been practicing a song for 2.5 years, and somebody gets up, and they're new in the choir, and they get up, and they sing the song, and they've only been in the choir 2 weeks, and they got it down, and you get upset. I'm saying, statement number one, disagreements are going to happen. Statement number two, disagreements are dangerous. They are dangerous. You take the story of Paul and John Mark, and John Mark had turned back and had not finished that missionary journey. And then when it came time to go again, Paul said, no, I'm not going to take him. But Barnabas said, now, wait a minute, I'll take him. And they had strong division among that over a, stay with me now, person. That's why the Bible says, who hath hindered you? Well, I'll tell you what, they're not a friend of my friend, and since they're not a friend of my friend, I can't be a friend. Yeah. Who have hindered you? Well, you know, I just don't like them. Who have hindered you? I'm saying this. The Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. When Mrs. Wells and I have been married 32 years, and I never will forget when our pastor counseled us prior to us getting married, he read this verse. He said, I've got one verse for you, one verse for you, one verse for you, and if you'll take this verse, you'll have a happy marriage, one verse for you. Boy, you know, I thought, wow, one verse. Man, you can have a happy marriage over one verse. He read this verse. He says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, he says, and be not angry. And sin not. It says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. He said, never go to bed at night with each other angry. Never, never, never. And by the way, people have, they display anger differently. Did you know that? Some people are pot throwers. They are. Some are shouters. Some people are screamers. Some are hollers. Some give the silent treatment. Yeah. People show anger different ways. All right? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying a good way to help in a relationship, don't be angry one with another. James chapter 1 and verse 19, here's what it says in verse 20 also. It says, wherefore, he says, my beloved brethren, he said, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. He said, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. All right? So what are we saying? We're saying this, that disagreements sometimes become dangerous. Dangerous. Had a couple years ago, stopped me in the hallway. They were mad about something, and they stopped me in the hallway. Oh, he started to get upset, and he started to shout and stuff. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, we're not going to do that here. Now, when you can settle yourself down and you can come to me and us sit down and talk, we'll sit down and talk. We're not going to go through the shouting stuff. We're not going to do that. You see, because when a person is out of self-control, they're out of control. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying disagreements sometimes are dangerous. When you disagree with somebody, if you're not careful, you'll say things that you'll regret. When you're angry with somebody, you'll say things that you'll regret. When you're, you'll write things that you should not write. You'll text things that you should not text. You'll FaceTime somebody that you should not be FaceTiming. Hello? I'm saying that disagreements are going to happen. Statement number next. Disagreements are dangerous. Statement number next, and I'm done. Disagreements can always be solved. Come on. So how do you do that, preacher? Communicate. Communicate. You and your wife have a knockdown, drag-out, tongue-lashing fight. All right, what do you do? Go talk. Talk. Sit down and talk. Alone. Bible says that when a brother offends you, Matthew chapter 18, you're supposed to go to him and him alone. Well, I'm going to get everybody on my side. You don't need anybody on your side. If you're right, you don't need anybody on your side. Go and communicate. You know, I tell people often, if you don't like somebody, go soul winning with them. Take them out soul winning. You change your focus. You don't like somebody, go serve God. That's why I took Billy Yao out soul winning with me the other day. And chairman of the deacons. No, I'm kidding. Now wait a minute. Watch this. I'm saying this. I'm saying that here's what you can always look to solve problems. Look to solve problems. By the way, does not the Bible says that a soft answer, stay with me, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Soft answer. All right, stand back up. And okay, soft answer. Go ahead.
Maxwell House is God's coffee.
You believe that?
Oh, yes. I added it to the Bible myself.
Until you said that, I was going to say it was good. Okay, all right. Hope you enjoy that Maxwell House. You have a great day. I walk away saying, oh, man, how stupid. But I'm not going to tell him that. Are you catching what I'm saying?
Amen.
You don't always have to open your mouth. You don't always have to voice it. I mean, sometimes you purposely, or should I say ignorantly, get into a fight that you should not fight. Hello? Stand up. Say something else, Sus Maxwell. Get that off your heart.
The Cubs are God's baseball team.
He's the only guy I know that lives in Texas, and we'll go to a game, you know. He's the only guy in the whole stadium that has a Cub shirt on, and everybody else in our church is, you know, they're out there, come on, Rangers! And all of a sudden, the Cubs get somebody up the base hill and says, let's go, Cubs! And everybody in the church is like, where is he coming from? He can't help it. He's from Chicago, amen. All right, now wait a minute, watch this. Okay, but you don't have, you see where I'm going with this? You don't have to always come back.
Amen.
Even though you might believe something and you're highly opinionated in your belief of something. Come on, coffee. Who in the world wants to get in a fist fight over coffee? Besides Brother Wislowski. Who in the world wants to get in a fist fight over the Cubs? Thank you. Be seated. And now watch this. I'm saying, you know, that disagreements can have a solution. They can have... There can be a solving there, all right? And look for the solution and find it immediately and go after it. You don't have to bring somebody else in it. That's not involved. I always say only go to the person that has the power to make change. That's a good thought, by the way. Only go to the person that has the power. You brothers and sisters, you disagree with your parents, and then you go in the back bedroom somewhere, and all you do is downgrade your parents and talk bad about your parents. Shame on you. Shame on you. What you ought to do is go to your parents and say, can we talk this out? Talk this out. Be decent, be kind, be loving, be caring. But don't go and stab them in the back. They feed you. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying you can always find a solution. There was a truck driver, and he was driving down the side of a mountain. And as he's driving down the side of the mountain, he noticed that there was a truck coming that had gone out into the passing lane. It was coming to him head on. And the scenario was given about this particular thing that was taking place inside of a high school classroom and said, now, what would you do? What would you do? Truck driver coming down the side of the mountain. All of a sudden, there's a truck driver that's passing on the way up the mountain. He's coming into an overflow lane there that is your lane, and he's in the wrong lane, and you're about to, and old Ed is over there sound asleep in the front of the truck. What would you do? One little boy raised his hand, 11th grader. One little boy, 11th grader, raised his hand and said, I'd wake up Ed. Say, Ed, you better wake up. You've never seen an accident like this before. But Ed couldn't have did a thing about it. Nothing he could do. You see what I'm saying? Here's what we do. We get in a knockdown, drag-out fight with somebody and say, boy, and then you get on this Facebook thing and you start degrading their character and degrade, and then they have friends too. And then before you know it, their friends get on there, and they're going to give a piece of their mind, which is very small. And then they get somebody else, and they get on there, and then they get on there, and then they get on there, and then they get on there. And before you know it, there's World War III. Come on, some of you are looking at me that way because you've done it. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying agree. Find a solution and agree to it. Let me give you a couple verses here, and I'm done. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easy to provoke, thinketh no evil. That's a description of love. So if you really love somebody, then you're not going to be that person that's always seeking your own, or always provoking that person, or always thinking evil about that person. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, the Bible says, if it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Now it said if. Now sometimes you can't do it. You tried to, but they won't do it with you. They won't work with you. All right? But if it is possible, then you do that. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 24, the Bible says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, it says, but be gentle, it says, unto all men, apt to teach, patience. All right? So he's supposed to be apt to teach. He's supposed to be patient. Let me give you one more. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, and verse 11, the Bible says, and if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is heaven, give good things unto them that ask him? All right? Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying what you do is you treat people preferably better than you treat yourself. Amen. Treat them better. Amen. Well, they took my car spot. Now, I've been coming to Parkside for 30 years. They've only been here for 3 months. They took my parking spot. Can't believe it. No, what you do is you get out and go greet them. Say, I'm so glad you're here. Amen. God bless you. It's a good church. We got a good preacher. We got good Bible teaching and preaching. I'm glad you're here. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Hello. Well, I just can't believe them. Boy, they're having that singles activity that they're having. And boy, I tell you what, I just don't like the type of stuff that they do at the singles activity because they're going to play volleyball probably again. Okay, well, you know, thank God for the volleyball. Amen. Thank God for stuff like that. I'm saying this. I'm saying that you can be an individual that helps when somebody in your life disagrees. You could help them. You know, you could enjoy Christianity a whole lot more if you'd be more agreeable. You can enjoy your marriage a whole lot more if you'd be more agreeable. You can enjoy your parents a whole lot more if you'd be more agreeable. Hello. Dr. Neil here with his family, and they're traveling on vacation. We traveled in evangelism for 12 years, and one thing we did teach our children, be thankful for everything. Everything. Boy, there were some meager times in evangelism. We didn't have much money, and we'd pray, and we'd say, God, please. And then we had enough money to buy some French fries at McDonald's. Never forget. And we taught our children to be thankful for French fries. We pass around the French fries, and they say, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And we taught them to be thankful for the little things, so later on they could be more thankful for the bigger things. Hello? I said the other day, and I'm done. I said, I found me a verse. It's going to be my verse. Now, I'm going to change it later. But my verse for now, where the Bible says, he shall add fat to thy bones. I said, that identifies me right now. Now, I'm saying this. You can be agreeable with people if you want to be agreeable with people. Now, Father, help us, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.